This is Connections, our daily news feature podcast here on MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell. And in today's program, our feature guest is Sergeant Sarko Jurgarian from the Winthrop Police Department. They have a new program down there. This is kind of an interesting thing. It's kind of like the PARE program that they've had around the North Shore. But Sergeant Jurgarian will be talking with Rick Moore just ahead about that program, so do not go away. We have a couple of other notes here to share with you. Gloucester Times story today. Gloucester has narrowed down their superintendent search for the school district to 5 candidates. They are Lori A. Gallivan, the Executive Director of Curriculum and Instruction for the Winthrop Public Schools, Dr. Susan E. Kutzka, who was recently the Assistant Superintendent for Administration and Personnel at the Weymouth Public Schools. Nan Skip Murphy is the Statewide System of Support Assistance Lead for the Massachusetts Department of Education in Malden. Ben Loomis is the Interim Superintendent for Public Schools in Brookline. And Kurt Lakeskull is the Associate Superintendent for Human Resources for the High School District 214 in Arlington Heights, Illinois. That's the story written by Taylor Ann Bradford today in the Gloucester Times. Excuse me. Now here is another story that is impacting every city and town in the country. I'm sure it's the U.S. Census. David McClellan writes in today's Salem News that it's a weird year to take the census, and low response rates may be a manifestation of that. As of Wednesday, Lynn had about a 44% response rate to the 2020 U.S. Census, despite Census Day having taken place on April 1. And in an effort to increase the number of census responses, next week the city will begin an all-out visual campaign with billboards, lawn signs, and flyers. And again, I'm sure many other cities and towns in our area are experiencing the same thing due to a number of factors, but obviously the coronavirus is number one. Well, we have our feature interview just ahead with us. Stay with us here on Connections every weekday morning right here on MSONewsSports.com.
All right, great pleasure now to bring on Sergeant Sarko Jurgarian, who is with the Winthrop Police Department, and we're going to talk about a lot of things safety-wise this morning. Sergeant Jurgarian, welcome to MSO.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Rick. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you.
Well, you know, as I was mentioning to you in our pregame warm-up here, I go back to when the Gloucester Police Department under then-Chief Lenny Campanello began the PARE program, and that's what caught my eye. There was a press release from out of the Winthrop Police Department a few days ago concerning a special program. But before we get into that, tell me a little bit about maybe your experience in Winthrop, what it is you do, and how the Winthrop Police Department is connected with PARE.
Okay. So I'm a police sergeant with the Winthrop Police Department, and I'd say about 4 or 5 years ago at this point, in reviewing the police logs and the dispatch logs at the department, it dawned on me that there was a lot of information in them that we may not have been using. So what I mean by that is, when you read a dispatch log, there's keywords in there, and those keywords at time indicate some kind of mental health challenge, or some kind of substance use disorder issue, or a family dynamics challenge. And then if something arises to the level that it needs a police incident report, you look at the police report, and at times the officers have indicators within the report of issues, that are causing an emergency response to that address. And I thought to myself, wow, there's a lot of good, valuable, important information here, and I don't think we're acting upon it. I think it's just going into the ether and vanishing. So I went to my police chief. At the time, I was a patrol officer, and I asked him if I could follow up with what I thought needed a follow-up. And he said, sure, go ahead. Go right ahead. And what ended up happening is I would find people in the community. I'd approach them with the information that I have that was housed at the police department, and they would say, yes, I need help to me. You know?
Mm-hmm.
At the time, I was doing this on my patrol shift. So I had the chief's blessing. So the my supervisor for the shift, you know, would allow it. And it turned out the uniform didn't shut them down. The uniform actually surprised them. Wow, there's a cop at my house asking me if I need help. And, you know, it's been 4 or 5 years now, so the community trusts the program. And they're saying, yeah, I need help. I need mental health assistance. I need housing assistance. I need food help. I could use help getting a psychiatric appointment. My psychiatrist isn't seeing me anymore, and I'm about to run out of meds. All from the police dispatch logs and police.
That's incredible. That's incredible, and that parallels. I know back when Pari started. Chief Campanello said he wanted to change the conversation about drugs and this kind of thing. And boy, you really dug into that. There's a phrase you have in your press release called biopsychosocial phenomenon. And you know, Sarko, it's been an awakening, a wake up call for me, I guess, in that I was one of those back in the day as an educator who said, well, you know what? It's a choice. Stop taking drugs. And then I realized what this opioid thing does, and how it comes on in so many different ways, you know, with pain medication and so on. So the fact that you were digging deep in that, were you able to spread the word on how complex an issue this is?
So there is an underlying theoretical orientation involved in this with me. So the word biopsychosocial comes from, one, my beliefs and my training. So what I wanted to have that word do in the blog write-up was to expand the conversation around human suffering and around human challenges. Everything appears as if it starts with a simple choice. Right? But we know that the human brain is a really complicated operating system, and there's a conscious aspect and an unconscious or subconscious aspect, right? So free will is a slippery topic. It's a slippery concept. Yeah, something might start off with a choice, but then it can turn into something bigger,
mm-hmm.
right? It can become a disorder. It can become a disease. I get really wary when people talk black and white. It is this. It isn't that. What I found is human existence is very complicated. People need help. I also ascribe to the belief that one of the fundamental things we're all here to do is help each other.
Well, I think that... That's pretty evident in your write-up and what you've done with your career. And I think also across the police departments on the North Shore. Certainly, I'm from Gloucester, and a lot of my former students are police officers. And, you know, they just can't do enough to help, as you say. A police officer helping is so important to the community. In your blog, the guest post that you published a week and a half ago, You mentioned the difficulty in this particular time with the emergency that some people might be having, and that there is, I think, a new awareness of it. And maybe you could shed a little light on that guest post.
Sure. So right now, we are being instructed as a society to isolate, right? And the motive behind that suggestion is a good one. You know, be careful. Stay away from each other. But we're social beings that need connection. Without connection for an extended period of time, people can start getting unraveled. So we're seeing an uptick in the use of intoxicating substances with domestic violence type situations happening because people are stuck at home and around each other. Their usual means of outlet and release and recovery are no longer available. Have gone into the ether. They've gone into the internet, so they're Zoom-based. Now, that's wonderful, but there's always something missing, you know, something changes, right, from the in-person interaction. So right now is the time where we need to say we need to do more and we need to be creative about how we're doing it, not to go, well, times are tough, we're going to go to a minimalistic approach, and anything that we're doing that was considered extra or outside of the traditional path, we're going to let go of right now. And you know what? We can justify doing that because we're in a state of emergency. I don't buy into that.
I can see that. And on the post, you know, let me just remind people that PARI means the Police Assisted Addiction and Recovery Initiative. And it is true that, you know, in this particular situation right now, we are less and less in contact with people, except perhaps by phone or perhaps by the internet. And, you know, that's a great point that you bring out. And you mentioned something that I need to ask you about. I'm not sure, first of all, what a PARI kit is.
Okay. Yeah. Let me tell you what's inside of a PARI kit. I started calling it a survival kit, if you need it, because one of the things that has recently been added to it is Narcan. So if anybody needs Narcan in Winthrop and out all over the Commonwealth, they can contact PARI. But in Winthrop, they can contact the Winthrop Police Department. They can contact our Emergency Operations Center, and I will get them one. It has Narcan in it. It also has test strips in it. Right? Knowledge is power. So, you know, if you use, it's good to know what you have, right? So these test strips can tell you if there's fentanyl in whatever you have in front of you.
That's incredible.
It also, you know, it also has national information about recovery support services. It has Commonwealth-wide information, and in ours we add local information as well, and a phone number to get a telehealth screening for a prescription of Suboxone if you need it.
Now, this kit, I'm guessing, is probably available, obviously, to those who need it, but also for family members who might think that they could benefit having it on hand, as you say, as a first aid kit, as an emergency kit. And how do they avail themselves of this? Is this something that is confidential? I mean, you know, one of the things about PARI was that you could turn yourself into the police department and there were no negative repercussions at the moment. Everything was going to work toward getting healthy. So how does that work if someone wants a PARI kit?
So I want to try to say two things about that. When you use the word confidentiality, it brings something up about the beginning of our program. It was called the CLEAR program, Community and Law Enforcement Assisted Recovery. Mm-hmm. And that conversation that I had with my chief, once we realized people were open and receptive to the police officers offering them the appropriate help, we had to put together a policy. So our program was going to be driven by policy. And my chief, Terrence Delahunty, said, in the policy language, I want a China wall built. He saw two lanes happening at the department. One would be a traditional police activity enforcement investigation lane. Mm-hmm. The other would be a helping lane. And he wanted the policy to have language in it that one would not go to the other for information. And we actually put that.
Wow.
In there. So with respect to confidentiality, forward-thinking progressive chief put it right in the policy, which we were able to send over to the International Association of Chiefs of Police, because at the time there was no model policy we could use to help build ours. And whoever interacts with me, I have policy backing the fact that I do not have to share, and I will not share that information with the other arm.
Well, I think that would and could inspire people to get help that they might ordinarily might not want to do, either as a family member or as a person who needs the help. That's outstanding. And tell me a little bit about CLEAR. Did that come before or after PARI with the Winthrop Police Department?
So it seems to me the timing, the time frame was right about the same time. It was 2014, 2015-ish when this conversation happened. Mm-hmm. in my chief's office. So I don't know exactly when the chief over there made that a very powerful proclamation. He put himself out there and got a very important conversation going. Right around then was when I said, hey, look, Our police departments are bastions of valuable information. I actually think it's immoral to not act on the information that we have at police departments in a helping way. I think you have one coin. On one side, we need enforcement. We need investigation. But on the other side, the same coin, the same place, has to have a helping, healing, connecting arm. That's what makes everything balanced, safe. That's what allows for community policing to start happening, you know? So the timing on when it started was about 2014, 2015. I forget the exact date.
Yeah.
At this point, we're like 5 years into it, and it's turned into cross-department collaboration between public safety and public health. At the table are the police, the public health nurse, a licensed mental health professional connected to BMC, and a certified Massachusetts recovery coach. And whenever I get verbal consent, because I'm looking for verbal consent to share, I'm never going to force somebody, unless they're a danger to themselves or to another, to get the help. I'm going to loop back and ask them again. I'm going to loop back again. I'm going to call them, but I'm not going to force them. They say yes to me, share my information with the team. We immediately wrap around them, and there's no insurance. There's no fee connected to it.
Amazing. We're talking with Sergeant Sarko Jajarian of the Winthrop Police Department. And Sergeant Jajarian, I'm wondering, and this is a loaded question, obviously, is there, without mentioning any names or violating any confidentiality, is there a success story that you've encountered or, you know, maybe some of the other police officers have encountered in the Winthrop Police Department? Because I know in Gloucester there have been stories in the paper about the Angel program and someone helping someone else. And have you had a success or two or maybe just one that you could relate to us?
Sure. I will do my best to relate this one that just happened with no names. A call came in to the Emergency Operations Center, which we got up and running, I don't know, at this point, 8-9 weeks ago, to help the community manage this COVID-19 emergency. A call came in, and the person on the phone asked to speak with me. And I took the call, and they told me that I met them during outreach that we do, because we look for the people. We try to find them where they're at, mm-hmm. not only in the community, but if they happen to be in the Suffolk County jail system, we go once a month into the jail system to touch base and start making that connection with somebody who's in there before they get out. And he said that the conversation that we had at the jail had inspired him, and he was 2 years into recovery. He was out. And he was looking to connect with me to tell me that and to work on becoming a recovery coach.
Wow. Okay. Well, that has to certainly validate what you do. I'm guessing it's a pretty emotional job to be a police officer anyway. So taking on this extra responsibility, it's got to hopefully make you sleep well at night, I hope.
You know what I say? I say I've been blessed to be in a department that has a chief that allowed me to do policing in line with my values.
Awesome.
So I don't have internal tension or stress. I'm not building up a moral injury load that at times negatively impacts first responders. I am grateful. I am grateful for that.
All right. Finally, the program, either PARI or CLEAR and so on, if people want to get involved, maybe not necessarily as a volunteer, but maybe to see what they could do to help out financially or otherwise, what's the best way for the public to go about this? And we'll restrict it to Winthrop, but also I'm sure that there's we can connect to the PARI website. But what's the best way for people to try to contribute?
Obviously, starting off with the mission of PARI, if you believe in it, they're set up as a not-for-profit, and they do take donations. Their presence on the web is big. They're doing very important work, not only in Massachusetts. They started in Massachusetts, but they've gone national and international with over 450 police departments spanning the USA and Canada. If anyone wants to connect with me, They can call the Winthrop Police Department, 617-846-1212. I'll make myself available. We can have a conversation, and I'll do my best to connect whoever needs contact and connection with whatever they're looking for.
Is there anything else you want to mention that I didn't think to ask?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is gratitude. Thank you for noticing and taking the time to talk to me. I'm looking forward to continuing to build my career in my community and rooting the community impact unit deeper into the police department so that it continues on when the group of people connected to it evolve out. I think change has to root so that it can survive past the personalities that are driving it. So there's work to do, and I'm looking forward to that challenge.
That is Sergeant Sarko Jajarian of the Winthrop Police Department.
That will do it for us today on Connections. One of our feature guests on Monday on the program, we're hoping to have with us Rich Fahey. Rich writes for the Boston Globe, former news and sports editor for the Daily Item of Lynn, writes for the, as I said, for the Boston Globe, and also has his On Boston Stages blog, and we've talked about that with the with some entertainment information. So we hope to be talking with Rich Monday at 10 on our Connections show. With Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great weekend, everybody.